Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each one that's come this evening. And there's some people had to be away tonight. There's something that's on once a year. And Philip and my mom was away. And Sister Carol had to lift my boys from work at 8 o'clock. So they're not here. But the Lord bless those that's here. And we thank the Lord for every testimony. Uncle Bobby is telling me a tremendous testimony when he came in tonight. And it is tremendous when people are healed. And we give God all the glory. Amen. And the Lord is the same. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we believe that and we preach that. And we thank the Lord. And you know, as Sister texted me the day, we've been praying for a man. I can't remember his name. And he's not looking good, but his daughter's saved and he's not saved, but he sent a message to his daughter that he wants to get saved. And she's going to go and see him and trust him that he'll come to the Lord. And you know, that's the most important thing, isn't it? That a man or a woman gets saved and comes to the Lord. Let us turn tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and I couldn't get this thought out of my head. And I want to talk about the seal of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's stand our feet while we read verses 20 to 22 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20 to 22. For all the promise of God in him are yea and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Praise God. Let us just bow again for a word of prayer. And if you hear the noise, the women's here tonight, they come every so often, they're upstairs, so let's not let it disturb us, but let's just pray before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. Lord, we know that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of returning. For you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Lord, we approach you humbly this evening in and through the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the merit of your precious blood upon our lives afresh, and we cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, let the mind of Christ be in us tonight. I pray for the need of every person in this room and those representative with ones in this room tonight, that thou wilt touch them and minister unto every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. We think of a young man this evening. Lord, you know everything about him, and we pray you'll touch him in the name of the Lord. And even that man that wants to get saved, may the Holy Spirit deliver him and save him in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me. And Lord, how we need your Holy Spirit today. Revive us, I pray, in the name of the Lord. Lord, for those tonight that could have come but never came, Lord, you know all about it. I can't bring them, only you can. But I pray you'll bless each and every one, and you'll help every one of us to put you first in our lives. Bless our children. Save them. Bless the wives. Bless the nurses. Bless the doctors at this time. Give wisdom to those in authority. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And Lord, now stamp your own word with your own divine approval. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This is a tremendous scripture. And, you know, really didn't plan to preach anything tonight at all. But I couldn't get away from these scriptures, and I started reading them, and things started opening up, and I was thinking of starting a series on Corinthians. And I was going to preach, you know, from that scripture, this corruptible put on incorruption, as we bear the image of the earthly. But maybe the Lord leads, I'd like to go through the books, the two books of Corinthians, there's so much in them. But I want to emphasize this tonight, sealed by the Holy Spirit. I want to say at the start of this service tonight, any man or any woman that is sealed cannot be lost. It does not matter if you stand them on their head, put them in a coffin or a box, fill them with anything you want till they will not be lost. There's nothing that can lose them once they're sealed. The seal of God is to all eternity, to the day of redemption. Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14 tells us, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Now the true gospel is the word of truth. That's what you heard. When you heard the true gospel preached, you heard the word of truth. And the word of truth has power in it. When people say, show me the power of God, any man that preaches the true gospel, the power of God's there. There's no person produces the power of God. It is God that produces the power of God. And it is God that gives the anointing of the Holy Spirit on a man or a woman. That is what breaks yokes, that anointing of God. But we were delivered when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who purchased you? Christ. How could Christ lose what he's purchased? He cannot. You don't keep yourself. I can't keep myself. It is the Lord that keeps us. It is the Lord that preserves us. Sealed by the Holy Spirit and the earnest of our inheritance unto the day of redemption, the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The glory is the Lord's. You cannot give the glory to nothing else, only the Lord. When a man gets healed, you don't glorify the evangelist. If you do that, you're making a mistake. It's the Lord that must get the glory. Now, God has many uses, we know that. But it is the Lord that we give the glory to. Amen. It is the Lord. And he will not give us glory to another. Now, there's three guarantees here in these scriptures about this sealing, and I want to talk about tonight. Number one is ownership. Ownership. He seals us and makes us his own. So it is God that seals you. If you truly are sealed, the Lord owns you. You don't own yourself, the Lord owns you. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. Paul said he was no longer his own, but he belonged unto the Lord. Amen. Many of us would have away doing our own things, but because we belong to the Lord, we're here tonight. It's because of the Lord, because he owns us. And especially a man of God, whatever God's called that man to do, he does it to the Lord. Because things are difficult doesn't mean the Lord's left him. You've only to look at Job, and you see all the problems Job had, you'd have thought God wasn't with him at all, but he was with him. There's different seasons. There's seasons of trials, there's seasons of blessing. There's time to weep, time to cry. There's different seasons. But the seasons change. Sometimes it's hard seasons. But ownership is one of the things about this seal. God seals us and makes us his own. Authenticity is another one. Authenticity. He seals us to show that we are his own. So he takes ownership of us. He seals us because there's ownership. Then there's authenticity. He seals us and he makes us his own. And he seals us to show we are his own. We belong to the Lord. Then there's completion. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us completion. That's who brings us completion. And we haven't reached completion yet because we're waiting on the redemption, the wit of these bodies. We're going to have a body change. We bear the image of the earthly. Here we are tonight. We have it. But we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. He sends us to guarantee we will be fully His own. With Him and like Him. We will be with Him. We will be like Him. God is going to change us like unto His own glorious self. That's the Word of God. We're going to be changed. Hallelujah. So there's nothing the government could bring in that could lose you or take you away from God. Nothing. No matter what they do. No matter what rules they bring in. And I said before, and I'll stand over it, I believe a lot of things what's been made will be later on regretted. And I told you the other week about a certain man coming through the hedge backways. You know what I meant by it. And if you watched the news, you saw the other night what I said was the truth. His speech was about pepper pig. Now, let's be honest about it. A man like that that's in authority should show you and me the spiritual condition of the land. Pepper pigs are condition. That's a sad outcome. That's the best they have. It's sad, really, that they're so far away from God that they depend on pepper pig. Well, he can hold on to pepper pig. Put him on a plate, he'll be all right. Bit of pepper and salt. But you see the condition the land's in. And I tell you, it's a sad thing. I don't want to get away from what I'm saying tonight. And let me read you what I wrote down this evening. In the ancient world, people would mark valuable property with their personal seal so that there would be no doubt about who owned it. So people marked the property with their own personal seal. We know in the Old Testament, when the king sealed a manuscript, it was rolled up, it was tied, and there was a seal, and he wore that seal on his finger. It was like a ring, and he would seal it. And that seal could not be broken till it reached its destination. No man had the authority to open it until it reached where it was going. That was the king's seal. When we are truly born again by simply believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow the Lord's commandments, Acts 2:38, and repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, then we're candidates for the Holy Ghost. We're candidates for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not baptized, doesn't mean God can't give you the Holy Spirit. We don't believe that here. We believe you're saved by believing on the blood of Jesus Christ, and it cleanses you. Regeneration by the blood, no other way. But baptism is an outward act of obedience that you are saved, that you're dying with Christ and rising with Christ. We know that. But God's given us the prescription, and that's Acts 2:38. And if you follow the prescription, you're a candidate for the seal of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. God put a seal of ownership on us when He gave us the Holy Spirit. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, there is a mark on us. There is a mark on every Christian. And the devil, I believe, can see it. And that's the mark of God, the mark of the seal of God. And there's no such thing as something happened to you before your time or this or that. God has sealed you. Now I believe God can take people before they should go when they backslid. I personally believe that. You mightn't have to believe that. That's all right. That's only my opinion. I believe if people backslid and they disobey God, God can give them a warning and take them. I believe that. I believe God told me that. But that's just me. I'm not preaching it as a doctrine. That's for me what I believe. I believe the Spirit of God warned me. I have set before you an open door. You'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, it's Isaiah 118, 19 down, you'll be cut off. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What are you going to do with that? Now, what my success is, what is success? What is success? What does people class as success? If you looked at Noah, what would you class as his success? If you looked at Lot, what would you class as his success? But there's one thing about them two men, they were men of God. Even Lot was. Because the Bible calls him righteous Lot. And God brought him out. That was success. Amen. Knowing we're in the will of God, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Have sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That will throw you to Romans. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. If there was an emphasis put on the seal of God, as there is on a vaccine, we'd been revival. I'm going to say it again, in case you didn't hear me. If the emphasis was put on the seal of God, as there is on vaccine, we'd been revival. People have been asking me, have you got it yet? Have you got the big job yet? And I'm not against anybody that gets it. That's their choice. I'm not here to bother anybody that's got the vaccine. That's everybody's individual choice. It works two roads. A man was sending me different things, and I told him, I said, brother, I'm going to warn you. You can get to be where you're persecuting people because they got it. And you think because you haven't got it. And there's no point blowing about not having it, and then you're afraid to mix with people. Anyway, that's hypocrisy in my opinion. That's the truth. If there's nothing to it, throw all over the hedge and get at it. Isn't that right? But they say there's nothing to it, and you're scared of everything. Something's wrong there somewhere. What if people trust in it? So whether somebody gets it or don't, it's everyone's choice. That's my opinion on it. It's their choice, and I don't believe if you get it, it's the mark of the beast. And I don't believe if you get it, it'll affect you that you're not sealed with God. Oh, that's absolute rubbish. I don't believe any of that. Whether you have it or not have it, you're still the Lord's. There's no vaccine could stop you from being the Lord's. But I'll say this, I do believe it's a training ground for someone else's coming. I believe that. I believe there's a power behind it. A political motive, a political power to control people. And I believe this is a test run to see how well they control people for what's later on coming. I believe that. That's my own personal belief. I'm not changing it. And, you know, in some countries they've rebelled already, and even the soldiers and everything's rebelled, and they've said, no, it's against our rights, and the army and the whole lot's come out, and they're not locking down, and they're not adhering to it. They're breaking the law, but they're not really actually breaking it, because the law is not law that was set. So they're keeping the law. But they were trying to get them to go against it. But the Holy Spirit's what we need today more than ever. We need the Holy Spirit. Seals also function as an official guarantee. A guarantee of correctness of the contents of a particular thing. How do you know someone is genuine without the seal? How do you know a real Christian? The answer is simple. Do they have the Holy Spirit? If somebody says, I have the Holy Spirit, and you present them the Word of God and they deny it, then you know they don't have the Holy Spirit. They have someone, but not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will not deny himself. He can't. Now, I'm not talking about somebody's idea of a doctrine. I'm talking about the truth, the real truth. People will not deny the real truth that has the Holy Spirit. Now, understand me, there's stages of revelation. The wee fellow that's saved a week won't know the same as you or me that's saved 20 years. We know that. But God could show them it, isn't that right? And you know the evidence of the Holy Spirit. We believe in tongues, but that's not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's not the evidence, but it is a gift. Don't throw it out. It's a proper gift. And when you study the book of Acts, they use tongues a brave lot of times, I'll tell you that. And we definitely need tongues. Amen? Real tongues. We don't need some witch getting up, a spirit of a witch, to give someone that's false. That's where then you need discernment. You know, Clayton and Sunmore, Seymour, I didn't say it right, Seymour, that black preacher in the Sousa Street Revival had a special gift that when someone like that came in, the Spirit of God would come on him and he'd bang the floor with his feet loud. He'd near wreck the place. That's the truth. And that devil would have to go out. And there's false stuff come in. There was false stuff come in. And it comes in everywhere. And wherever the Spirit of God's moving, the devil wants to be near it. Look at Judas and the disciples. And it's there. There's two spirits. But when you have the Holy Spirit, there's discernment. Discernment of spirits. I believe we need to be praying for discernment of spirits. When you, sometimes when things is told you, you can take it in, and we're all guilty of I am. But when you stand back further and look at it, then you realize this is just not the way it looked at the start. And we just pray God gives us the discernment of spirit and wisdom. Amen. The answer is simple. Do they have the Holy Spirit? There's a real, genuine Holy Spirit. Now look at Romans 8. Mark this in your Bible. This is the key to what I'm saying. Romans 8, verse 9 and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Not powerful. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So you won't want to live after the desires that was once there. You want to live after righteousness. There's somebody in you that should be greater. Amen. You know when the prophet went to visit the Indian chief and he said to him, how are you getting on since you got the Holy Ghost? And he said, since I got the Holy Ghost, there's two dogs in me. One's black and one's white. And they're always fighting. And he said, which one wins? He said, whatever you want to feed the most. If you want to starve the black one, he dies. Starve him. There's only one cure. See, that's what Christians are doing today. They don't realize that, but they're doing it. And there's a lot of this propaganda about you don't actually need to go to church. But the Bible says you need to gather often as you see the day approaching. Gather often. Now, church can be in your house. You could have church in your house. The early church did. But you're to gather often as you see the day approaching, because we need to hear the Word of God. We need to sit under ministry. We need to come together and pray for each other, pray one for another. That's the Bible. But the devil wants to brainwash people. You don't need to gather often. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do that. What he's doing, starving them. He's starving them. Then when they're starved, they're weaker. And then as they get weaker, he attacks them. And the Bible says that he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we have the lion of the tribe of Judah with us. He's stronger than that lion. The one fellow said that old boy got his teeth kicked out. Amen. But the lion of the tribe of Judah is all teeth. All powerful. The Holy Spirit seal is a guarantee of our inheritance unto the day of redemption, to purchase possession. Look at Ephesians 1:13-14 again. And whom ye trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the day of redemption, the purchase of possession, the praise of the glory. Our experience of the Holy Spirit is but a taste of the full payment. It's only a taste of it. Think of the best experiences. Only a taste of what the Lord has for you. You know, it's like the fella, and I'm not talking about somebody who's young, but you know, people that's older in the Lord and they're ready to go, let them go. Don't hold them back. Wigglesworth called his wife back. She was dead and he called her back. And she said to him, don't call me back. You've no idea what this is like. Let me go. Yes. William Branham's wife said the same thing. It's like we heard the story told in this service, I believe it was here, for there's a young fellow, and this is a true story, and there's a man amongst us who was with him when this was told. This old fellow was preaching to this young fellow, and he was a good man. He was doing the right thing, preaching to him. The Lord gave him more power to the elbow. But he preached to him every day, and then the old man that was preaching wasn't too well himself, and the young fellow says, they're praying for him that God will do this and God will do that. And the young fella says, I don't understand. And I'm confused. And said, why? He said, why would you keep him away from a place so good? He told me, you've no idea how good heaven is. Amen. But that's different for a young person, isn't it? And God can raise somebody up no matter what age they are. We know that. But we've no conception really of how good heaven is. We don't have. We think we have, but we don't really. If we had a glimpse of it, it's like, you ever heard a man preach and he's a glimpse of hell? You'll never be fit to preach it like that man, because he's had a glimpse of it. He'd be able to preach it. And a man that's had a glimpse of heaven will be fit to preach about it. Heaven, pearly gates, streets of gold. And that's what it's all about. This seal of God guarantees us we're going to reach heaven. It's a guarantee. And remember the one who gave the guarantee of preaching Sunday night. He swore by himself. The word and the oath. He could swear by no greater. Two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. What for? That we might have strong consolation. What for? To lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This is the reason Paul gives us such a solemn warning in Ephesians 4 and 30. And he says, and grieve not the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've kept racing pigeons most of my life. And when they get to know you, you could go in amongst them and they'll hardly move. They'd light on you. But if a stranger come in or move sudden, they're gone. They're gone. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved out of a meeting. You just need a bit of a barney and it grieves the Holy Spirit. A husband can have a barney wife before they come to a church. Grieves the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. There's lots of things can grieve the Holy Spirit. Then you have to build that atmosphere back up, as it were. And I'm not saying it's works, but you know what I'm talking about. You kids don't click your fingers and say, God, you better come here. God doesn't work like that. There has to be a reverence coming to God, a sincerity, a humbleness, and a willingness for the Holy Spirit to come. And God warns us here not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God owns us. If God owns us, we want to serve Him. We want to do the right thing. God owns us. He has authenticated us. He's given you the Spirit of God. God has given us a foretaste of glory. God has committed to bring us to glory. He's committed to do it. God has. You don't commit to do it. How could you commit to take yourself to heaven? All your part was believe. It's God that takes you. He's coming for you. It's like a brother John often says in his testimony, we're not flying out of here. The Lord's taking us. We're getting taken. We're not growing wings and flying. The Lord's taking us. We're leaving. Amen. We're gone. That's the beauty of it. We're gone. And we're going to be going soon. And I believe there's things to happen before we go. I really believe that. There's a lot of things I see myself that I believe is going to happen. I don't believe you'll see the cars we have now on them roads. They'll be gone. I believe it'll be all more modernized, way ahead of what we can think tonight. There'll be no such things, cars crashing or nothing. It'll all be modernized. I don't know whether it'll be electric or what, but some sort of system. It'll be far, far advanced than what they are now. I know there's types of it and people put pictures up and all, but I'm talking about them actually here. I believe it's not far away. It's coming. And the world now is trying to program. The authority is trying to program people. They're programming us. They're programming us. And the phone's one of the other things of programming. You can search anywhere in the phone. There's a thing in the phone, Snapchat. I don't know if anybody has Snapchat. My Daniel says, Dad, you need to get Snapchat. How Snapchats work, you put Snapchat on and it's a video. And he's in a tractor in New Zealand and I can see him. And he films himself Snapchat and it comes straight through to me in seconds. And there's Daniel in the field in the tractor in the blue sky, Snapchat. And then I send him back Snapchat. And it's a wee video clip, that's the fastest it can happen. But you see, Snapchat, you can look it up and there's maps. And that map shows me exactly where he is in New Zealand and it shows him exactly where I am over here in Northern Ireland. It's a tracer. Barry Smith years ago preached it. He preached it. And you know what they done for Barry Smith when they preached it? They never gave him a pulpit. When he come here at the last, none of the denominations wanted him. And you wouldn't say Barry Smith was extreme. I wouldn't. And he seen as many people saved as anybody I know of. The Lord really used him in seeing people saved, but they didn't want him. The churches didn't want him. They never opened the door for him. They closed it. The last time he come, he preached in the school. Isn't that right, brother? He preached over in a school over there. They didn't even want him. And he said there's a meshgraph and it's all set up. Now the things he said was dated back, but it's all happened. It's all happened. It's all about control. They know where you live. They know your number. They know everything about you. But thank God we have a mark on us. Let me read this for close this evening. This is from the Patmos Vision. And then I'm going to close. How thrilling it is to think of these seven lamps drawing life and light from the resources of the main bowl, because they had their wicks dipped therein. Each church age messenger is depicted here. His life is on fire with the Holy Ghost. His wick life has been immersed in Christ. Through that wick he is throwing the very life of Christ, and by it gives out light to the church. What kind of light is he given? The very same light that was in the first lamp, that's what lit that light on down the ages to the present time of the last day messenger. The same life, the same light, the same manifested by the light that is hid with Christ and God. Not only can we speak thus to the messenger, but every true believer is dramatically depicted here. They're all drawing from the same source. They all have been dipped in the same bowl. They are dead to themselves and their lives are hid with Christ in God. They're sealed with the Holy Ghost, Ephesians 3:4-40. And he quotes the scripture I've read. No man can pluck them out of my hand. Their lives cannot be tampered with. The visible life is burning and shining, giving light manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The inner invisible life is hidden in God and fed by the Lord's word. Satan cannot touch them. Don't care what laws he brings in. Don't care what programs he brings in. This says he can't touch them. Not even death can touch them. For death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory. Thanks be to God, they have the victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to close because I want time to pray, but you could read Revelation 7 and you could read Revelation 9 and you would read that you're not to touch the servants of God till they're sealed. And the wicked preacher, but the papa you saw, God stopped the world war. And the angels stopped it that God sent till the servants of God are sealed. And I don't care what they bring out. Nothing can happen but what God permits. And God won't lose nobody because of a lazy preacher or lazy evangelist. That's nonsense. God will seal everyone that's going to be saved. And God will have a people. He will have a people. No matter what it looks like, God will have a people. Amen. Aren't you glad for that tonight? I want you to be encouraged tonight. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, and I trust everyone has it, but pray for the Holy Spirit. I tell you, we need to be praying. Those of us that believe we're sealed, we need to pray for a fresh filling. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to move in these pews, in this church. Pray for God to move. Pray for God to visit us with the Holy Spirit in our homes, in our families. That the Holy Spirit would move upon us in a very mighty way, that God would bring conviction on men and women. It is God has to be the draw. You could have drawn it. Look, there's people go places, but it's not God. But then there is God. Amen. There's a genuine God. And I always said, we're not the monopoly. And never think that. God's people everywhere. God has people everywhere. And they don't have to jot every T like what we have in belief to be God's people. It won't happen. There'll be differences. But they're really born again and sealed. They're ready to go. That's the important thing, is the seal of God tonight. place, you know there's something going on out there. There's something taking place. There's a struggle going on. There's a war zone going on. And we need to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praying in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Led in the Spirit. We need discernment. Discernment of Spirit. The Holy Ghost will come and identify himself amongst us. Signs and wonders and miracles. The Holy Child Jesus. Let's come and let's pray tonight and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for Calvary, then for Pentecost, and for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, for the seal of God. We thank you that your seal is on to the day of redemption, till we come into our full inheritance, what you purchased for us before the foundation of the world. Lord, you said when you were on earth, I thank you, Father, that none of them that thou hast given me have I lost any of them. We bless you tonight that you're still on the throne and you will remember your own. Your promise is true. God will not forget you. Lord, we need a revival. We need a move of God. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we need you to come and fill us afresh with the tongues of fire, the lick of fire coming over your people, falling upon us, moving through us. That pillar of fire by day, and the pillar of fire by night, and the cloud by day. Your glory coming in, Lord, filling these mortal beings, that Christ would be uplifted and Christ would be glorified. We pray that you'll stretch your arm forth at this time with signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy Holy Child Jesus. Lord, that you'll save her children, save her loved ones, save the wife, save the husband, save the son, save the daughter. May the Holy Ghost move upon them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to bring people in to hear the word of God, that you bring deliverance, Lord, upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, deliver the drunkard, deliver the drug addict. Lord, you came to save sinners. We bless you this evening that your power is not limited or changed, but you are still the same. Oh Lord, we ask that you'll bless every brother in this room tonight. Bless the sisters at home. Bless the women upstairs in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost for the former rain and the latter rain in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't want some sort of an educational standpoint on it, but we want to have the real outpouring, the real knowing of the Holy Ghost coming amongst us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Oh, Lord, we need you tonight. We need you more than ever. Lord, we know you're with us, but we need you with us even more. Lord, we believe we're saved, but save us again. Lord, we believe we're filled, but fill us again. Flow over us. Come through us. Come in us. By the Holy Ghost, I pray, we invite the Holy Spirit to come into this room. Drive back every force of the devil. Drive back every stronghold of the enemy. And bless your people. Bless the deacons. Bless the elders. Bless your brother Mark as he takes up your word this Sunday. Bless him. Anoint him. Fill him in the name of the Lord. Bless these brothers' hands in the work and their job. Prosper them, O God. Press down, running over the top in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask for those that's still afflicted, that comes to the meetings. We pray you'll touch them. You'll minister to them in the name of the Lord and raise them up to health and strength in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, deal with the backslidden tonight. Lord, work on them, move on them, and restore them in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, I'm asking you for the spirit of discernment to come amongst us in a greater way. Let that spirit of discernment be amongst your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, that we will discern the enemy, that we'll know him. Lord, that you'll expose him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. Help us, we pray, as we look to you. Christ's name, save souls and heal the sick. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's continue. Pray, thank the Lord tonight.